on kingdom people, and he gave us some fundamental truths about how kingdom people should live. He did an awesome job last week, didn't he? Can we get an amen for Jake? He brought the word. I appreciate that very much, brother. So this week we're going to look at how kingdom people should speak, what our language should be like, how we should talk. And you've heard it said that actions speak louder than words, but let's be serious. Words have a powerful impact on they have an influence on what we say and who we say it to. So we want to be sure as followers of Christ that we are watching our tongues, we're watching what we say, and that we only do things that build other people up and honor God. You see, with our words, we can bring comfort and healing, but we can also bring pain and suffering. I mean, we can encourage or we can tear down. We can praise and worship, or we can curse and bring judgment or be critical. So what we say and how you say can have a huge impact. And once you say them, you can't take them back. I mean, they're out there forever. So the passage this morning that I'm choosing for this message is coming from Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. And it says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the abundance, or some versions say, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So any message that we're going to give talking about our speech is going to end up working its way back to talking about what's the condition of our heart. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But as I was preparing this message, God convicted me a little bit, because the last time I spoke, I teased Brother Micah here a little bit about the clothes he wore, you know, the skinny jeans and the funky haircut, and that was not building him up, and I apologize for that, brother, and I ask your forgiveness. However, as I was talking to God, he did tell me the white shoes after Labor Day is still, that's still in effect. That's an unwritten rule still in heaven, so sorry about that, brother. But we just had Dave shared that we had a men's retreat. We had about 25 or 30 guys sitting around the campfire. I could have rewrote my whole sermon just on that, because you get 25 guys sitting around a campfire, and three of them are Farleys and two of them are Myers. Lots of trash talking going on. But you know what? Most of that was all in good fun, and even with Brother Mike and I, we're joking around a lot and we tease a lot. But sometimes that goes too far. Sometimes we can take it too far. Before I became a believer, I had a pretty sarcastic tongue, and I would make comments to get a laugh. But it was usually at other people's expense. And when I became a believer, God convicted me that I need to change that. So he helped me change the way I spoke, because he changed my heart. So I learned that I had to value other people and how they felt. So we got to be careful, because as kingdom people, we need to be careful what we say. Because in his word, he says, "Be holy as I am holy." He calls us to be different. And the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh. And that word means, in Hebrew, it means something that is other or set apart. It is the exact opposite of something that is common, it says. Now, the word is rich with a sense of sanctity and consecration. So when Moses was choosing a word to describe that place in the tabernacle where God lives, he called it the Holy of Holies. It is a place that is set apart. It is consecrated to God. So we are to be holy. We are to be set apart. We are to be different. And we're to be different. We're to be the exact opposite of something that is common. And what is common nowadays is this world. So we are to be the exact opposite of the world. We're supposed to be different in the way we speak, the way we act. So when the world hates, we're supposed to love. When the world judges, we're not supposed to be critical. We're supposed to forgive. When the world gossips, we're not supposed to participate. When the world tweets and posts, we need to resist the temptation to respond. When we've been offended, we need to forgive. When your kids have pushed you to the edge of your patience and you're about ready to explode, Maybe you need the time out instead of them and get a hold of your emotions. I got 5 kids, been there, done that. 4 of them are boys. When you make a bad shot in golf, there's other words to say besides curse words. So we need to be careful. We need to stand out. We need to be different. God calls us to be peacemakers. He calls us to be gentle, to be kind, to be loving. He calls us to comfort, to counsel, and sometimes, yes, even confront. And over all that, we're supposed to put on what? Love. We're supposed to love. But so we're supposed to stand out in a world that's a mess and stand out in such a way that they take notice. I think back to the church in Acts chapter 2 and how they lived. They met together, they broke bread together, they sang together, they shared everything they had together. They stood out. They were different. And what did God do? He increased the number of people. The world took notice, and they wanted what they had. So they came. So we need to be different in what we say, in what we write. I mean, this is 2020, right? There is social media out there. So you have more opportunity to let your voice be heard than ever before. What are you writing? What are you posting or tweeting or whatever else we do? Is it honoring to God? Or does it look just like the rest of the world? We need to be different. Now, I'm not in any of the social media apps. I'm older, so I don't do that stuff. Plus, I spend all day on a computer, so I don't. But from what I hear of what brothers and sisters in Christ are posting, are we representing our King well when we do that? Are we honoring Him in what we write and what we post? I wonder, because we are His representatives here, aren't we? We are His ambassadors. So what we do and say reflects on our King. So we need to carry ourselves in such a way that brings honor to Him. If you're do a search in Bible Gateway or any other search engines for Bible stuff, and you type in words like or word or tongue or speech, you'd be amazed at how many scripture verses there are on how we should handle our tongue, what we should say, what we should speak, and how we should say it. I mean, there's hundreds. So as I was reading that, and I'm going, if God gives us so many warnings and teachings on the tongue, maybe we ought to listen. So I just picked out a few of the passages that talk about the tongue, and I'm just going to read them right through. I'm not going to read the reference. I'm just going to kind of read what God tells us about how we should handle our tongues. So when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of a wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And with our tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. So we can clearly see from God's word that He expects us to handle our words properly. He taught us, commanded us, warned us, reminded us of the power of the words, of our words, what they have, and that they can be constructive or destructive. So we have God's word. But He also gave us something else to help us in this, and that's He gave us an example to follow. And who is that example? Jesus. Jesus should be our example for all of our walk of faith. But He is the model that we should use in terms of our speech. Because it seems like every interaction that Jesus had with people, whether it was His disciples or the Pharisees or other scribes, or tax collectors, and he has hung out with tax collectors and sinners, or the poor or the sick. He always seemed to have the right thing to say at the right time. And why? Because he discerned their hearts. He discerned what they needed. He always was intentional about building other people up. If they needed encouragement, he encouraged them. If they needed hope, he gave them hope. If they needed to get a little swat, he gave them a swat. I mean, what did he say to the Pharisees? He called them a brood of vipers and hypocrites. So Jesus was not afraid to confront people and face their needs and help them through it. We need to do the same. We need to be intentional with our words. And Jesus, as much as popular as he was and as many people came around him, he never did it for his own glory. He always pointed people where? To his heavenly Father. He always pointed them to his heavenly Father. So we need to speak like Jesus. We need to be intentional. We need to listen. I mean, listening is a skill that most of us have not mastered. Because listening means that we're more concerned about what the other person is saying than what I'm going to say next. So if we want to understand and help people where they're at, we need to listen to what they're saying instead of worrying about getting our point across. So husbands, how are you speaking to your wives? Wives to your husbands, parents to your kids. I mean, that group of 25 or 30 men that we just had at the men's retreat. These are guys in our church who are committed to serving the Lord and doing it better. Are we perfect? No, not even close. But we're striving to. We're striving to be leaders in our home. We're striving to be better fathers. And part of that is what we say and how we affirm our parents and how we encourage our kids. We need help in that. So we got the Word. We have Jesus as an example. But God also gave us something else to help us, and that's His Holy Spirit that lives within us. Now, He gave us the Holy Spirit when you became a believer in Christ. He placed His Spirit within us to teach us, to guide us, to direct us. But according to Matthew 10, He does something else as well. He says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." And in Luke chapter 12, it says something similar. It says, "When they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So we have the power of the Holy Spirit that can help us. So if you're talking to your neighbor and you don't know what to say or how to answer someone, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If someone questions you about something or challenges you about your faith and you're not quite sure what to do, the Holy Spirit can give you the words to say. And He doesn't say, "I'm going to give them to you a week in advance." He says, "In that very hour, when you need it, is when He'll give it to you." But you know what? We got to be listening. We got to turn down the noise in our minds. We got to block out the rest of the world and be tuned into God. So when He gives you those words, you can hear it. And you can respond. So we got God's Word. We got the example of Jesus. We got the Holy Spirit. There's another influence in our life that can affect the way we speak, and it's not always good, and that's the world. The world has a huge influence on what we say, what we think, our attitudes. And honestly, I think current culture is really infiltrating us and getting the better of us sometimes. I mean, how easily have we gotten sucked into some of the things that have been taking place this past year? I mean, the hatred, the anger, and the violence related to the racial tension. The issues about the pandemic, the divide over whether should we wear masks, should we not wear masks, can we meet, can we not meet. Everybody's got an opinion. It's starting to get into us. You got politics, you've got, you know, police defunding and all this other stuff. And it's just crowding into our life to the point where it affects our hearts. It affects what we think, which is going to affect what comes out. And all of this is because we're letting what's happening in Satan's kingdom affect those of us in God's kingdom. And as James said, this should not be so, brothers and sisters. You know, Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is." And James says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." When you became a believer in Christ, you got a brand new heart. It was clean. Man, the old one that was dirty and stained was gone. It's clean. Our job is to keep it from being polluted again and being corrupted again by this world. And we have to be on our guard. We have to protect our hearts. So that brings that conversation back to Luke, where it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So what we think and what we say and what we act is going to be affected by what's in our hearts. So if you've got a critical tongue, heart check. If you're not affirming to your wife or your family, check your heart. Sometimes when I look at what's happening to the church and how Satan is attacking us, sometimes I wonder if he's not winning the battle. We know the victory is won, but there's a spiritual battle going on, folks. And it's not for governments, it's not for land, it's for your heart. There's a battle going on for your heart. I mean, God wants nothing more than you to come to know him, to be a part of his family, to be reconciled to him. And Satan, on the other hand, wants nothing more than to keep you from doing that. He wants to keep you away. And if you're even if you're a follower of Christ already, he's going to do everything he can to derail that. He'll lie, he'll steal, he'll do anything he can. So we need to be on guard for that. There's a war going on. And you're not an innocent bystander. We don't have the power to fight it, but we're a participant in this war. So we got a lot of military guys in here. So as a soldier, what do you have to do? Prepare. You got to train. He's given us weapons to use. We got to know how to use them. We got the Word of God. We need to know how to use this. We have prayer. We know I need to know how to pray. We need to know how to call upon God. We have the power of His Holy Spirit within us. We need to know how to access that. It's a war. And the war is for your heart. And if you don't defend it, if you don't neglect it, before you know it, you're going to get overrun. And we're going to lose. So as followers, and another part of that is one of the things we did as at a retreat was we locked arms, because this is a war that we can't fight alone. Amen. So we need each other. You know, the men stood arm in arm. We locked arms and we prayed for each other, because we can't fight this fight alone. You put me out there alone, I'm overrun. You put me with Jake and Andy, man, I can stand with them, as long as they're on both sides. So sometimes I think it's almost like we're living in Laodicea instead of Buffalo. You know, Laodicea is a church in Revelation that Jesus called out for being lukewarm. The time for being lukewarm is over. It's time to get our hearts right, to start living for Him. God's doing that in this church. I mean, we have men at that retreat who have rededicated their lives to Christ. People who are standing, we have people being baptized, come to know the Lord, and are proclaiming Him. Amen. We all need to catch fire if we're going to do what God has called us to do, and that's to reach the world. Amen. So we got to reignite the fire. But I can't do that for you. Pastor Mike can't do it for you. You got to do that on your own. Right. Yeah. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Pastor John, you say you can set the table, but you can't make him eat. So it's up to you to take this next step. We are here as a church and as leaders to help you every step of the way. You know, we have life groups, we have other ministries to help you in your journey. But you have to take that next step. So if you're on fire for the Lord and you're all in, praise the Lord. But if you're not, and God's talking to you today, So the Bible says today is the day. Don't harden your heart. Today is the day to claim that victory. Today is the day to take that next step. Today is the day to say, Satan is not going to get my heart. Amen. That I'm going to live for him. And is it going to cost you? Yeah, probably. Jesus never said this walk of faith was going to be easy. In fact, he said, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. So it's going to cost you. It may cost you sleep as you get up early in the morning to read your word and pray. It may cost you time as you give up your time to go help someone else. Just this past month, what do we have, like three people? I mean, Dave has a new roof on because the brothers came over and helped him. Jimmy tore down someone's garage with a bunch of brothers. You know, someone went out and helped someone else build their porch. It's going to take your time if you're serious about going out and serving others. It may take you missing a worship service so that you can go upstairs and serve in the children's ministry. So that some of those folks who are up there all the time, my wife being one of them, can come down and enjoy the service as well. If we're serious about our faith, it's going to cost us. But you know what? The blessings you get back from God, so much better than what you give up. There is no comparison. We cannot outgive God. And you may not see those blessings here on earth, but we're storing up treasures in heaven. Where is your heart today? What condition is your heart in? If it's not fully sold out to the Lord, if you're not all in with him, I encourage you today to do that. Take that step. Ask him to help you how to do it. I mean, sometimes we don't even know what to do or where to go. He's right here. He's there for us all the time. We just need to ask. Where is your heart? I pray that it is with the Lord and all in for him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you confessing that, man, we are weak and we fail. But Lord, our heart's desire is to be all in with you, to give ourselves completely to you, and allow you to do the work in our lives to shape us and to look like Jesus. Lord, I pray we'd be serious about defending our faith and defending our hearts, protecting those. And that we would live for you. And that we would not let Satan have any foothold in our life. So Lord, we call upon the power of your Holy Spirit to fight with us, to defend us against Satan, that we may have hearts that are clean and pure for you, so that when we open our mouths, it's honoring to you, builds up our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we become representatives of you that we can be proud of, that we are your children standing tall for you. Lord, I just ask your blessing on these six folks who are going to be baptized right now. Lord, what a celebration this is, as you've renewed their hearts, and they are now proclaiming you as Savior. Lord, we celebrate with them today and honor your name. That's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.